From Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 22. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, where things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Amen. Dear Brother David, for reading the word of God this morning. What can I say to you this morning other than we rejoice in the grace, the mercy, and the love of God that would allow us as his people to gather today? And I can't think of a better place to be on this first Sunday of 2016 to be right here with you, God's people. And with this opportunity to worship and to glorify and praise our great God through Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads with me right now and let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask his help and his blessing as we study his word together. Let's pray. Father, we are here this morning by your purpose and your plan. And we rejoice that we who are so weak and so helpless and so insufficient in ourselves can gather today and lift our voices and lift our minds, lift our affections to you, our great God, through Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we have thought about him today, and we have heard about him today, and we've read about him today. And Father, we will now speak about him today. And God, I can't think of a better thing to do than to worship Jesus this day. Help us as a group of people to do that and guard our thoughts and guard our minds this morning during this time. Help us to focus on the truth that is before us. Father, may this be truth that will help us and edify us, for we're so needy. And Father, you've placed us here and you've placed us in this city and you've placed us at this time that we might be clear testimonies of your greatness and your grace. So we pray that this time and your word today will be used to equip us and help us to serve others through you. We give you glory now and ask God for your help by the Spirit to understand the scripture today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I appreciated what Pastor Jake said in regards to each day is a, is a new opportunity to please God and to honor God through trusting Him and depending upon Him. But yet, as human beings, we often have holidays or special days or specific times that we set apart to think of something that's very special, and we do that with the new year. And even as a pastor, when I think of the Word of God, I want to be an encouragement to you, and I want to be used by God to edify you, and specifically, I want to fulfill my function as a pastor to equip you for works of service. And so as I thought about these first couple Sundays in this new year, my focus once again goes to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I want you to join me with Colossians chapter 1 this morning. For just a few minutes, I want you to turn your thoughts toward Jesus. Please be reminded that we spent most of the month of December looking at Jesus from the second chapter of Hebrews. And I want to begin this new year by continuing this look at Jesus, but it's short, the first two Sundays of 2016, and we'll look at specific truth about our Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul will help us do that in Colossians chapter 1. This will not be the first time that we've looked at Colossians 1. When you're in a certain place for many years, you tend to look at certain scriptures several times. And so we've looked at Colossians 1 before, and I'd like to look at it again this morning. Notice Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, that the Apostle Paul prays for the Colossian believers, and what a prayer he prays. Look what he says, he prays for them that they be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You see, Paul's praying that they would grow spiritually. Paul is praying that they would be fruitful in their labor and increase in the knowledge of God. Paul is praying that they be strengthened in God's power. And you know, this should be our desire for one another. As a matter of fact, when we think about how we pray for one another, wouldn't it be something if we prayed for one another all the time like this? And yet so often we who are earthly people are pulled by the things of this earth. And there's nothing wrong with praying for people in their specific needs, their physical needs, health needs, financial needs. We should pray, and we should pray all the time. But oh, folks, what would happen in the church of God if we would pray earnestly like this for God's people? What a prayer. This is how we should pray for one another. But then in verse 13, Paul begins a line of amazing truths about Jesus Christ that are one of the most concentrated descriptions of the glories of Jesus in the New Testament. We've spent some time in the past in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, especially Hebrews 1 a year ago. We looked at the description of Jesus Christ by the writer of Hebrews. Paul does the same in Philippians chapter 2. He focuses on Jesus. These are great Christological passages. Colossians 1 is one of those passages. And he begins here with a line of amazing truths that will help us focus our attention this morning on Jesus Christ. Look at them with me. There are at least 17 statements he makes about Jesus in this passage. Then we'll come back, and then we're going to focus on one of those truths here in Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. He says that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And notice, He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Jesus is the Son of His love, and He has a kingdom. And God has done this for us through Him. Look at verse 14. Speaking about Jesus, Paul says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God. Verse 15, He is the firstborn, meaning the preeminent one, the highest in position of all creation. Verse 16, For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Folks, that's Jesus. Verse 16, Paul says, All things were created through Him. Verse 16, All things were created for Him. Verse 17, He is before all things. Verse 17, In Him all things consist or hold together. That's Jesus. Amen. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. Verse 18, He is the beginning. Verse 18, He is the firstborn from the dead. Verse 18, In all things He is preeminent. Verse 19, In Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Verse 20, He reconciles all things to Himself, whether on earth or in heaven. Verse 20, He made peace through the blood of His cross. Verse 21 and 22, Jesus has reconciled us to God in the body of His flesh through death so that He could present us holy and blameless and above reproach in God's sight. Folks, that is an amazing line of truth about Jesus Christ. It tells us who He is, it tells us what He has done for us, and it's worth reading over and over again. As a matter of fact, if you memorize Scripture, and you should be memorizing Scripture, what a blessing it is, memorize Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 22. You will be encouraged and blessed every time that you spend time in this passage because it draws our attention to Jesus Christ. If your heart grows cold, if your vision of God's grace grows dim, then go here. Spend time here. Think and consider and contemplate the glories of Jesus and ask God to give you eyes that will see and ears that will hear and a heart to receive this understanding of the greatness of Jesus Christ. But for our purposes today, we won't look at the whole passage. Let's go back to verse 16. Colossians 1:16. Paul says here, and I want you to notice the prepositions here. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Do you see that? Paul teaches then that Jesus Christ created all that is. Paul shares with us here that they were created by Him and through Him and for Him. The Son of God, who was with God and who is God, according to John chapter 1, the Son of God created all things. And all things were created for Him. All that came into existence for Him. And that means that all things that were created, all things that came into existence by the hand of God, were created to display the greatness of Jesus Christ. By Him and through Him and for Him. And folks, that means this morning that there is nothing, absolutely nothing in the universe that exists for its own sake. It all exists for Jesus Christ. Everything from the top of the highest mountain to the depths of the lowest ocean, everything from the smallest atom to the largest star, everything from the mouth-watering steak to a lima bean, from the lowliest saint to the most ruthless dictator, by Him and through Him and for Him, Jesus Christ. Everything that exists, exists to make the greatness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fully known. And folks, that includes me, and that includes you, and that includes that person who hurt you yesterday, that person who lied to you today, and that person who will disappoint you tomorrow. All for Jesus Christ. Everything was made for His greatness. Now let's land here this morning. Let's think about this truth, because if we think about this truth, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God takes that truth and works in our mind and works in our heart, and this Word dwells in us richly, I would submit to you that this will change the way we live today. And this will change the way that we live tomorrow and in the coming weeks and the coming months of this year and every year to come in our lives. That it's all for Him, by Him, through Him, and for Him, Jesus Christ. Now, that immediately brings a question that would push at our thinking and pull at our thinking, even as we look at these words by the Apostle Paul this morning. And that question is this: does that include evil? Does that include evil? And the answer is yes. That includes evil and wickedness and sin. Look carefully at our passage. Because of all the things, the millions and millions of things that Paul could have mentioned that Jesus Christ made and exists for His glory, Paul chose to mention these. He says, thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. Look at verse 16. He says, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. In other words, they all were created by Jesus Christ. And why do they exist? All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. And folks, Paul knows that these rulers and these authorities and these principalities and these powers include evil, wicked, supernatural beings. That's what he's talking about here. Hold your place and turn to Colossians chapter 2 and look at verses 14 and 15. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul here speaking about Christ and speaking about our great salvation. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Notice what he says. He says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Folks, these are the powers of evil, of sin, of wickedness. Paul also mentions this in Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place and turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Go to that familiar passage of the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verses 11 and 12. Paul writes and he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, who in the world is Paul talking about there? He's talking about those spiritual beings, those fallen angels, those evil beings that Satan rules over. Those are the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. Wicked, supernatural, spiritual beings whose aim and purpose is to destroy the human race and disrupt the work of God. But folks, they have been decisively defeated at the cross where Jesus disarmed them, Paul says in Colossians 2, and made His people secure in Him by grace through faith. That's what God has done through Jesus Christ. The point is this, that Christ has defeated them, these evil, wicked, supernatural beings. But they still exist. They do much harm in this world because not everyone has faith in Jesus Christ. And even those who put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ can be hurt by these spiritual beings, but not spiritually destroyed by them. And folks, even as this new year begins, we need to be reminded that wickedness and evil and sin are still very much alive in this world. And we will face it, and we will be affected by it, and we are surrounded by it, and it exists in the form of these wicked, supernatural, spiritual beings who hate God and hate God's people. And this wickedness by these spiritual beings works itself out in countless ways in this sin-cursed world. And they use people, and they use the things of this world, and they control the world system for the sake of their evil. So then that brings this question: why do they exist? Why do they exist? Where do they come from? Back to Colossians chapter 1. Because Colossians 1:16 gives us the definite, decisive answer, not the complete answer, not every detail, but an answer that we need to know today as God's people. Paul says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities." Brothers and sisters, that's where they came from. They were created by Christ. Why do they exist? All things were created for Him. They exist for Jesus. They exist to make His glories known. Now stop just a moment in your thinking. Let's explain this. Because Paul doesn't say here that Jesus created them evil. Paul doesn't say that. The Bible makes it very clear that they were created good, but they rebelled against God. Hold your place in Colossians 1 and turn to Jude, the book of Jude. How long has it been since you've been in the book of Jude? If you're saying, well, where is Jude? Go to Revelation and back up one book. Jude verse 6. See, the Bible makes it clear that they were created good, but they rebelled against God. In Jude verse 6, Jude writes and he says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." You see, Paul knows this. When Paul writes Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, when he writes this great passage about Jesus Christ, and he tells God's people that by Him and through Him and for Him all things were created, all things were made, Paul knows this. And Paul even has in mind these powers and these principalities and these rulers of darkness. He knows this. He knows what they once were and what they've become. He knows that Christ knew that they would fall before they fail. Paul knows that Christ knew that there would be sin and rebellion and evil. Paul also knows that in infinite wisdom that Jesus Christ planned it and purposed it and took it all into account as He established the history of salvation and the purpose of His grace. And therefore, when Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says that rulers and authorities and powers and dominions were created by Christ and for Christ. He means that God created them knowing what they would become and how even in that evil and rebellion and sin that they would glorify Jesus. And their creation and their rebellion were all part of God's plan and purpose. And Paul tells us plainly then that the most evil, most wicked, most sinful beings in the universe are a part of God's sovereign plan and a part of Christ's sovereign rule. Now let that settle in your thinking for a moment, because this is why that I would say this will affect the way that you live every day. This will affect this new year. This will affect the weeks and the months ahead that are coming. So why would Paul tell us this? Why would he share this with us? And of all the millions of things that he could have used as an example of what Christ created and why he created, why would Paul specifically say and mention these powers and principalities and these dominions and these rulers? Why would Paul do that? Is this helpful to us? Paul thinks so. These evil powers are the one thing that Paul chooses to mention as an example of what was created by Christ and for Christ. And he wants us to know this. And why? Why does he think this is so important and good for us to know? Because, folks, this is about life. This is about everyday life. This is about that difficult person that you face at work. This is about a marriage that's in trouble. This is about hospitals and nursing homes and funeral homes. This is about an accident that takes place on Interstate 80. This is about crops that fail and markets that drop and bank accounts that are empty. This is about ISIS. This is about terrorism. This is about ethnic cleansing. This is about war. This is about rumors of war. This is about every form of sin and evil and wickedness that comes against us in our lives. This is what Paul wants us to know. This is how Paul would encourage us. This is how we can be edified by this passage of Scripture this morning. Folks, great, deep biblical truth about Jesus and creation and glory and sovereignty and grace and evil are like cool water to a thirsty soul. We need these truths. We need to understand, to get a glimpse in our human weakness of the greatness of God and the glory of Jesus Christ and who they are and how they work and what they're doing in our world today and what they're doing in our lives today. We need these truths desperately for daily living. And so why should we know this truth that Jesus Christ is sovereign, that He rules over evil and wickedness and sin? Why should we know this truth that Jesus Christ rules supremely over the wicked rulers and authorities of the universe? Let me give you five reasons this morning why we need to know this. First of all, we need to know this simply because it's true. I mean, this is not opinion, this is not idea, this is not guess. You have this before you in words that you can see with your own eyes and understand with your own mind. You have that before you this morning from the Word of God, and this is true. It is clear, it is plain, it is objective truth. You see, people need truth to be saved and to be freed from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Paul says in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, He, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And the truth of what Jesus has done, the truth of who Jesus is truth that will save us. And we need to know this morning because this is true. A second reason we need to know this is that these truths make it very clear that Jesus Christ is worthy of all glory and worship. I mean, there were people in the city of Colossae that Paul wrote this letter to. They were saying that the worship of angels was part of the way to God. See, they were being affected by the philosophies around them, and they were saying that angels are very important and angels are part of the way to God. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Notice what Paul says to them. He says, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." See, these angels that some in the church of Colossae thought that were so great, these angels were created by Jesus Christ. These angels were created for Jesus Christ. And so Paul says to those Colossian believers, don't you worship them. Don't you exalt them. Don't place them high. Don't think that they're the way to God, but worship the one who made them. Worship the one who created them. And folks, that one is Jesus. And so we need to know these truths this morning so that we can glorify Jesus and we can exalt Jesus. There's a third reason why we need to know these truths. We need protection from high-sounding heresies. See, Paul was concerned for those Colossian believers, and he was concerned that in the pluralistic, intellectual atmosphere of the city of Colossae, that Christians would be captivated by empty philosophies and teachings. Look what he says in Colossians 2, 8 to 10. Colossians 2, 8 to 10. He says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who was the head," you see that? "Who was the head of all principality and power," Jesus. And folks, we're no different than the Colossians, because with these great truths about Jesus Christ, Paul is protecting us today from philosophies and traditions that do not cherish God and exalt Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, folks, you look around in churches today, or look around in the church today, and you'll see that churches are pulled and pushed by every wind of doctrine. You'll see churches are pulled in one way or another by certain philosophies, certain methods. Do this, do that. And yet, what does Paul do? What does he say to the Colossian believers? What would he say to us? Get your focus on Jesus. Get your attention on Jesus. Exalt Jesus. Center it all on Jesus. Folks, when we're grounded in the rock-solid truth of God's sovereignty and of Christ's rule over all things, and yes, even rule over evil, then we're not easily swept away by man-centered trends or teachings or traditions. We need these truths for protection. We need this emphasis on Jesus to protect us. Here's a fourth reason. Paul wants to make it plain that when Christians who feel so small and vulnerable hear about these enemies, these principalities, these powers, these rulers, that they will know without a doubt that Christ has all authority over them. Now, to put that in a shortened statement, you see, when we as Christians are battered and we're beat on all sides by the evil around us, we have to keep in mind that Christ rules over it. That Jesus Christ is supreme over all of that. And folks, that means that any movement by Satan or demons or evil spirits or wicked men can only come against us with the permission of Jesus Christ. Now think about how that can encourage us every day in our lives. Hold your place in Colossians 1 and turn with me to Luke 22. Luke 22 and look at verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Here we have Luke's record of that final night of Jesus with his disciples, and Jesus has something to say to Peter. Look what he says, verse 31, Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Folks, look at this carefully. The most powerful, evil, rebellious creature in all of the universe has to ask permission to sift Peter. Do you know what that means? That means that Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts in the heavenly places, they can do nothing against you or me without the permission of God. They can do nothing to you and me without the permission of Jesus Christ. Now, that's an encouragement to me. That's an encouragement to me that Satan does not run loose in the universe. That God has a leash on him. That God has a rope on him. And God jerks him back. And God keeps him in his place. And when God looks at, and when Satan looks at Pastor Tim, when Satan looks at Brother Dave, when Satan looks at Brother Tim and says, look at these servants. Look at these who are doing what you want. You are protecting them. You've put a hedge around them. Look at them. And if Satan does anything to us, it's because God allows it. And why would I say that? Because that's exactly what God did with Job. Turn to Job. Job chapter 1. Let's start with verse 8, Job chapter 1, verse 8. Familiar passage, but just a reminder, truth that we need today. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand. Notice what Satan says, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Folks, what does that mean? That means that Satan can do nothing against us unless God allows it. God has set boundaries around his servant Job that Satan could not pass. God has set boundaries around his servants today that Satan cannot pass. There is nothing that Satan or the workers of evil can do against you without the permission of God who rules over all. Without the permission of Jesus Christ who rules over all principalities and powers. We need constant reminding that Jesus Christ has authority over all. There's a final reason. Reason why we need these truths. Paul tells us these things because he wants us to know and to live in a salvation that is invincible in Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus Christ died and he rose again, Paul says in Colossians 2:15, Go there, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Notice what Paul says. He's talking about this salvation. And he says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And so that means then that our enemies and the enemies of Christ may attack us and hurt us and even kill us. But the victory is ours. And even as we mentioned last week, even our great enemy death has been made to serve us. Even our great enemy death has been turned by the completed work of Jesus Christ to no longer be something to fear, something to dread. But God, by His grace through Jesus Christ, has turned death into our servant. It's through death that we come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Because if you have, then here's what Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And folks, what that means is that you are secure forever in Christ Jesus. And nothing, absolutely nothing, not even the most powerful forces of wickedness and spiritual beings of evil, can separate you from God's love and God's grace in Jesus Christ. See, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 that all things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. Even your worst and most powerful supernatural enemies. And folks, if that's true, and it is, that means every enemy under them. You see, in the end, it was these enemies who were defeated and shamed at the cross, not Jesus. And in the end, everything and everyone, and that includes evil, serves to magnify the glory of Jesus Christ. And every day, Jesus Christ, the ruler over all things, is working to turn the evil and the wickedness and the sin of this world, which is against you, Jesus is working to turn it for you and for Him. And so this morning, be encouraged in your great Savior. This morning, be strengthened in Jesus, whatever this new year brings. It's Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, I'm thinking right now of how the Apostle Peter wrote in his second epistle, and he said that he needed to remind the believers of certain truths. And we need reminded of these truths this morning. For Father, it's very easy for us to look around in our own lives or look around in the world and see the wickedness and evil. And Father, we feel the heat of that. We're surrounded by it. And God, we even acknowledge that within us is that nature of sin. And yet we've been reminded this morning, Father, that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. And He is supreme over all things. And even the most evil, wicked spiritual beings and all the wickedness and sin that comes from those beings in this world that is controlled, this world system that's energized by Satan and those spiritual beings, God, all of that is under the rule of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the comfort, and thank you for the strength, and thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would take these truths and help us today and tomorrow and the days to come, that whatever comes against us, that we would turn our thoughts toward Jesus, and we would see him as he truly is, and we would see him even as he is now at your right hand, interceding, protecting, watching over his own. So we give you glory and honor, and look forward, Father, to how that our faith may grow and that we might be transformed more and more into the image of this one who's given himself for us, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray this morning. Amen.